بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطاهرين ما دام ما في السماوات والأرضين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نسألك علما ينفعنا ارفعنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. نوينا التعلم والتعليم والتذكر والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been afforded the opportunity to work through Al-Mukhtasar Al-Latif, Ba-Fadl's The Short Abridgment. We now come on to lesson number 11. And in this particular lesson, we are going to be dealing with impure substances. If my memory serves me correctly, we had started with the definition and the listing last week. And in this lesson, we continue with the listing of impure substances. And thereafter, we will deal with the phenomenon of how to purify certain impure substances, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we're going to be looking at in terms of our continuation of that list would be the following. وَالْمَيْتَةُ وَشَعْرُهَا وَرِيشُهَا وَجِلْدُهَا وَجَمِيعُ أَجْزَائِهَا. The author says, وَالْمَيْتَةُ, and the word مَيْتَة, clearly the root letters are either مِيم يَاتَ or مِيم وَاوْتَ, mouth referring to death. وَالْمَيْتَةُ refers to a dead animal, what we refer to in English as carrion. وَالْمَيْتَةُ, a person discovers a dead animal along the roadside. That particular dead animal, that dead carcass, وَالْمَيْتَةُ, وَشَعْرُهَا, we're now looking into the parts of that dead animal, وَشَعْرُهَا, its hair, وَرِيشُهَا, in the instance that you find a dead bird along the roadside, وَرِيشُهَا, its feathers, وَجِلْدُهَا, the skin, the hide, in its current state, وَجَمِيعُ أَجْزَائِهَا, the word جَمِي refers to all, أَجْزَاء is the plural of the word جُزْ, which refers to a part, وَجَمِيعُ أَجْزَائِهَا, and all of its parts are considered to be impure. وَالْمَيْتَةُ وَشَعْرُهَا وَرِيشُهَا وَجِلْدُهَا وَجَمِيعُ أَجْزَائِهَا, and all of its parts. The proof for the following would be the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that reads as follows, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ, and has been made impermissible upon you, الْمَيْتَةُ, carrion. From the Shafi perspective, we tie that into the impure status of that dead animal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, the author assists us in terms of giving a definition. We provide a translation for the term mayta. We translate it as carrion. That doesn't by necessity define the concept. What is a mayta? What do we define it as? And in this particular regard, the explanatory notes helps us greatly. It reads as follows, وَهِيَ الَّتِي زَالَتْ حَيَاتُهَا. Carrion is referred to such an animal, زَالَتْ حَيَاتُهَا, its life has been snuffed out, زَالَتْ حَيَاتُهَا, its life has come to an end, however, بِغَيْرِ ذَكَاتٍ شَرْعِيَّةٍ, but its life was not terminated in a valid shari'i manner, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What is the ruling? So now we understand, technically, what carrion refers to, and what is the ruling? The ruling is clear from the text, but we repeat it again. فَهِيَ نَجِسَةٌ بِجَمِيعِ أَجْزَائِهَا. It is considered to be impure, بِجَمِيعِ أَجْزَائِهَا, with all of its parts in its current state, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to the next chapter, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, or the next part of the text rather. It reads, وَالْمَذْيُ وَالْوَدْيُ. We had briefly spoken before about liquids. excreted, if you wanted, liquids that come out of the body. There are a number of liquids. We had mentioned 3 or 4. We had spoken about urine. We had spoken about sperm. We'd spoken about madhi, pre-ejaculation fluid, walwadyu, and another type of liquid, which we will look at now, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're looking at this issue from a different perspective now. We're not looking at the perspective, what does it necessitate? Does it necessitate a purificatory bath, or does it necessitate wudu? We're not looking at that particular aspect. We are investigating whether it is considered to be pure or whether it is considered to be impure. In other words, tahir or najis. So the listing goes on, and the listing is listing it as impure. Why? لِقَوْلِ عَلِيٍ كَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَ. Because of the statement of Ali, may Allah ennoble him, he says, كُنْتُ رَجُلًا مَذَّاءً. I was a person that would experience a lot of this type secretion, this pre-ejaculation fluid, I was beset by it. وَكُنْتُ أَسْتَحِيَ أَنْ أَسْأَلَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Because of the nature of this liquid, it's a pre-ejaculation fluid. So I was very shy to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about it. Why? لِمَكَانَ تِبْنَتِهِ. Because of the position of his daughter with me. I was married to his daughter. So now I would be asking my father-in-law relating to something of a very sensitive nature, relating to conjugal relationship. So I was shy to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what did I do? That didn't stop me from asking. I devised the plan. What did I do? فَأَمَرْتُ الْمِقْدَادَ بْنِ الْأَسْوَدِ. I appointed مِقْدَادَ بْنِ الْأَسْوَدِ فَسَأَلُوا. And then مِقْدَاد ibn al-Aswad asked on my behalf. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُغْسَلْ ذَكَرُهُ وَيَتَوَضَّ أَوْ يَغْسِلْ ذَكَرَهُ وَيَتَوَضَّ. He should wash his private part وَيَتَوَضَّ, and then he should perform wudu. So there we have the dual rulings. That pre-ejaculation fluid, its excretion, so it's now on the private organ. What needs to happen? It must be washed because it is impure. Number two, what does it necessitate? It necessitates a wudu as opposed to a ghusl, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Like I said previously, we spoke about different liquids coming out of the body, and I listed 4 now: urine, sperm, pre-ejaculation fluid, and what we will look at in terms of a wadi. Let's just have a quick refresher in terms of what we had discussed already in terms of other liquids that come from the body. We looked at al-madhyu and we looked at al-wadiyu. Al-madhyu, as I mentioned earlier on, we have it translated as pre-ejaculation fluid. Again, that is a translation, and certain times the translations are telling of the concept. Other times it is not that telling. We want to understand what exactly is this pre-ejaculation fluid. It reads as follows: هو الماء الأبيض الرقيق. It's a liquid. الأبيض, it is white in color. الرقيق, it is thin, as opposed to sperm that is generally thick and coagulated to a certain degree. هو الماء الأبيض الرقيق. It is white, it is thin, اللزج, and it is somewhat sticky. الخارج عند الشهوة, and it ejaculates, it comes out بلا شهوة. At the time when a person experiences a sexual sensation, akramakumullah, bila shahwatin, without any desire, wala tudaffuqin, and it doesn't come out spurting, wala ya'qubuhu al-futur, and it is not followed by a state of languidness. So that distinguishes this type of fluid from semen, because semen would come out with a sensation, a sexual sensation, akramakumullah, may Allah honor you, and it comes out in spurting form, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, min ma'in dafiq, from a liquid that spurts forth. So let's just read through that explanation again. Huwa al-ma'u al-abyad, it refers to a whitish liquid that is thin, it is sticky, it comes out at the time, so pre-ejaculation fluid, it comes out just before the advent of semen, and it comes out bila shahwatin, without a desire, and it doesn't come out in a spurting, in a bursting form, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So it's an unlustful discharge of thin, sticky, white fluid, if you wanted to wrap it up in terms of the English language. So madhi, in terms of our current conversation, in terms of our current context, it is considered to be impure and it needs to be washed. On the other hand, we have another liquid referred to as al-wadyu, wa huwa al-ma'u al-abyadu al-thakhin al-kadid. Here we have water, or rather liquid, huwa al-ma'u al-abyad, which is whitish in fluid, al-thakhin al-kadid. a thick cloudy white fluid. Ma, liquid, abiyad, whitish, al-thakhin, it is thickish, al-kadir, it's not white, but off-white, and they translate it as a cloudy white. So it's a thick, cloudy white fluid that exits after urinating or carrying something heavy. A person picks up something heavy, and as a result of that, as a consequence of that, there's an emission of a certain type of liquid. That type of liquid, when it meets these qualities, are considered to be wadi. What is the status quo of wadi? It is impure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The ruling of both of these fluids is impure, necessitates wudu and not ghusl, as you can clearly see from the slides, which is a rework of the explanatory notes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next issue which we are looking at, we're still listing the forms of najasat. What we have now would be wamaniyul kalbi wal khinzir. Mani, we had discussed mani in a sense of a human being. What is the status quo of sperm in relation to a human being? We are talking now about maniyul kalb. That's an idafa construction. Maniyul kalb, the sperm of a dog, wal khinzir, and a pig. What are the different permutations that we can have? Sperm of anything born from a dog and a pig. So you have a dog and you have a puppy, and then you have a pig and you have a piglet. Anything born from a dog and pure animal. So you have a dog and you have another animal altogether, or you have a pig and you have another animal altogether, which is considered to be pure. Any of these permutations, the sperm that comes out from there would be considered as impure. In the first block that I have, anything born from a dog and pig could be dog and dog. It could also be dog and a pig in that particular crossbred manner, and Allah SWT knows which best. So the sperm of a dog and a pig and whatever comes from those permutations are considered to be impure. On the other hand, the sperm of human beings and all other animals is considered to be pure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We continue with our list. وَلَبَنُ مَا لَا يُؤْكَلُ كَالْأَتَانِ وَهُوَ أُنْثَ الْحِمَارِ غَيْرُ الْآدَمِ. We're now looking at the next item. The next item reads, وَلَبَنُ. Laban refers to milk. The milk of ma, that which la yu'kal, is not edible. In other words, is not consumed, is not eaten. وَلَبَنُ مَا لَا يُؤْكَلْ. And the milk of that which is not consumed. Now our author gives an example. He says, كَالْأَتَان. Like a female donkey, وَهُوَ أُمْثَ الْحِمَارِ, a female donkey, is not edible. So the milk that comes from an animal that is not edible, that particular milk is considered to be impure, and Allah SWT knows best. غَيْرِ الْآدَمِ, other than a human being. So a human being is not edible. So on this logic, you would think that since a human being is not edible, therefore the breast milk would be impure. This is an exception, غَيْرُ الْآدَمِ, other than a human being. So we have a rule, and then we have an exception to that particular rule, and Allah SWT knows best. So here we have a listing in terms of, again, sort of permutations. I hope I'm getting that word right, inshallah. Permutations. Human breast milk. Human breast milk would be pure tahir, even from a man or a minor, in the highly unlikely event that a male person's chest, bosom, swells up with breast milk. That particular breast milk would be considered as pure. If it's a minor, a small girl having not reached the age of puberty, her chest, her breast swell up with milk, that milk would be considered to be pure. So if you want to wrap that up, it would read that breast milk from a human being unrestrictedly, irrespective of what the status quo of that particular human being would be, whether it's a male or female, whether it's a minor or a major, whatever the status quo of the human being, the breast milk would be considered to be pure, and Allah SWT knows best. The next issue we look at would be, the text deals directly with وَلَبَنُ مَا لَا يُؤْكَلْ, the milk of an animal, a non-edible animal. What about the milk of an edible animal? What is the status quo thereof? The milk of an edible animal is tahir on condition that the animal is living when the milk is expressed. That would be like a very normal practical example, but fiqh is life, so therefore it covers all aspects of life. A person has a cow, he milks the cow. The cow is edible. The milk produced by the cow is thus considered to be pure, and as a consequence, one would be able to and allowed to consume it, and Allah SWT knows best. The condition is that if you come across a cow and the cow passes away, but its udders are filled with milk and a person milks the cow, then because that milk was expressed whilst after the cow had passed on, it would not be considered pure, it would not be considered permissible, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We continue with our listing, or has our listing come to an end? Let me jump the slide and go to the next one. The next one deals with impure substances still, but here we have an interjection of certain pure substances in terms of the flow of the text. It reads as follows: وَمَيْتَةُ الْآدَمِيِّ وَالسَّمَكِ وَالْجَرَادِ طَاهِرَاتٌ. The following, مَيْتَةُ الْآدَمِي, مَيْتَة again would be carrion. Here I'm going to translate the word مَيْتَة as corpse. The corpse, al-adami, of a human being, was samak, and that of a fish, in other words, a dead fish, some reason or the other, dead fish wash up on the beachfront. Wal jarad, locust, you come across a lot of locusts, a swarm of locusts that have passed on naturally. Tahiratun. We gave the ruling before that carrion is considered to be impure. These are exceptions. The corpse, that of a human being, is considered to be pure. Wasamak, that of fish, and that of locust, tahiratun. The ruling is it is considered to be pure. So what is the proof for the purity of a human corpse? Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. And indeed we have honored Bani Adam, the children of Adam. And the dictates of honoring and ennobling the son of Adam would be that his corpse is considered to be pure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The second issue which we look at would be the proof for the purity of dead fish and locust. The text reads as such on top. And this is a beautiful thing about all schools of thought, our school of thought in particular, that every ruling is tied into a particular narration. It is tied into a verse of the Holy Quran and so forth. قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عن البحر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم says about the sea. What does he say? هو الطهور ماءه. As regards to sea water, he says it is طهور. طهور means it is clean in and of itself. It's pure in and of itself, and it has the ability to purify. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And then الحل ميتته. Over and above the fact that sea water is pure and able to purify, الْحِلُّ مَيْتَةُ, the carrion that is to be found within the sea or washed up, that is also considered to be pure. So a clear pronouncement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam as regards to the pure status of carrion coming out of the sea, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next narration reads as follows, and what are we going to establish now? Jarad. We've looked at the proof for the human corpse. We've looked at dead fish or other sea creatures, and now we need to establish the proof for locusts. You find a swarm of locusts. Are they considered to be pure, impure? They're considered to be pure. What is the proof for that? The proof for that reads as follows: An ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, on the authority of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him both, uhillat lana maytatani wa damani. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that two types of corpse have been made permissible for us to consume. It is pure, wadamani, and two forms of blood. What are they? Al-jaradu, wal-hayyatani, wal-kabid, wal-tihali. The Prophet ﷺ says locust, and that is really our focus point here. We will discuss in a bit about the kabid. Kabid refers to the liver, wal-tihal, and refers to spleen. Technically speaking, they are considered to be blood, but this particular narration permits them. The meaning of walhayyatani somehow eludes me now. I will have to get back to that in the next recording, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping in mind that this class is recorded twice over, alhamdulillah. Waljuz'u al-munfasil min al-hayy min ghayri al-adami was-samaki wal-jaradi najisun. So we again resorting back to sort of a listing in terms of impure substances. The author says, Ba'fadl, he says, وَالْجُزْءُ الْمُنْفَصِلِ. Juz refers to a part, al-munfasil, that is detached. Al-juz'u al-munfasil, a part which is detached, min al-hayy, of a living animal. Somebody, for some reason or the other, Allah forbid, approaches an animal and the animal is living and they chop off a leg. What is the status quo of that particular leg that has been detached from a living animal? Min غير الآدمي, from other than a human being, والسمك, and a fish, والجرال, and locust, obviously. Najisun, what is the ruling regarding that? Najisun, it is considered to be impure. The proof for that reads very simply. It says, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم says, ما قطع من البهيمة وهي حية فهي ميتة. That which is cut off from a living animal, وَهِيَ حَيَّةٌ, whilst that animal is living, فَهِيَ مَيْتَةٌ, then that is considered to be carrion. In other words, it is impure and impermissible for a person to consume. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now we go through certain exceptions. In the previous slide, what did we say? We said that any detached part, a part detached from a living animal, that is considered to be impure. A part detached from a living animal is considered to be impure. If you understand unrestrictedly, it would include shearing. A person has a sheep, and then he shears off the wool. Then that wool is a part that has been detached from a living animal. So the generality of this first statement would include shearing. So therefore, we have an exception. And what is the exception? The exceptions come in the following form. أَنَّ الشَّعْرَ الْمَأْكُولِ الْمُنْفَصِلِ حَالَ حَيَاتِهِ طَاهِرٌ. That شَعْر, be it the hair, the wool, the hide, not the hide, but the hair on the hide. أَنَّ الشَّعْرَ الْمَأْكُولِ, that the hair, الْمَأْكُولِ, of an edible animal, الْمُنْفَصِلِ, that is sheared, that is separated, that is cut off, حال حياته, whilst the animal is still living, طاهرٌ, it is considered to be pure. وليس حكم ما سبق. And its ruling is not the previous ruling, which we mentioned in the previous slide. This is an exception. And where do we get that from? Why is it that we made an exception in this particular regard? Because the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is quite clear. The statement that reads as follows, مَا قُطِعَ بِنَ الْبَهِيمَةِ وَهِيَ حَيَّةٌ فَهِيَ مَيْتَةٌ. Whatever is cut off of a living animal, that is considered to be carrion, and carrion is impermissible. We made an exception. Why do we make an exception? Because of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he says, and he mentions this in Surah Al-An'am, or rather not Surah Al-An'am, he mentions it in Surah Al-Nahl. Surah Al-Nahl. Surah Al-Nahl, أتى أمر الله فلا تستعجلوا. سورة النحل is the chapter in the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces the most exhaustive list in terms of his blessings that he has bestowed upon you and me. In that particular listing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somehow halfway or somewhere halfway in this particular chapter, Allah says, وَمِنْ أَصْوَافِهَا وَأَوْبَارِهَا وَأَشْعَارِهَا أَثَاثًا وَمَتَاعًا إِلَى حِينٍ. You can make manufacture furniture and you can manufacture goods. From what do you manufacture these goods from? Min aswafiha wa ubariha wa sha'ariha, from that which is on the back of these animals, be it camels, be it sheep, etc. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So thus far, alhamdulillah, we've now covered that particular aspect in terms of the listing of impure substances. The next chapter that we're going to be dealing with, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this class would be impure substances that can be purified. So we have our list now. In that list, you would have noticed two things. The one very early on was wine, that wine is considered to be impure. Can wine be purified? That's the question we ask ourselves now. The next item that we mentioned would be carrion. If you come across a dead animal along the roadside, then that animal and all of its parts are considered to be impure. Is it possible for us to purify parts of that animal like the hide? Those are questions which we are going to answer, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reading through impure substances that can be purified. So the first issue would be that if you're going to purify something, it means that particular substance needs to go through a change. the word for condition would be hal, condition. Then istihala is taking the root letters ha, waw, lam, hal, condition, and placing it on the 10th scale. On the 10th scale now, it is istihala, which means talabu taghayyur al-hal, to seek the change of a condition. In other words, for change. Now, wine which is impure, can it be purified by way of a change? Hides of a carrion, of a dead animal, can it go through a form of a change, a form of a metamorphosis? Can it morph to a way that we no longer consider it to be impure through istihala? What is istihala? Istihala is defined as yintilabu shay. It is when something transitions min sifatin ila sifatin ukhra, from one status quo, from one quality to another, ma'abaqa'ihi bihalihi, whilst in essence it still remains the same, and Allah SWT knows best. So there's a metamorphosis in this particular regard. The next slide looks rather text heavy, but don't worry too much, inshallah. It is fairly simple, and we're going to now apply and add detail to the framework that we mentioned at the very beginning of this section of our lesson. وَتَطْهُرُ الْخَمْرَةُ إِذَا تَخَلَّلَتْ بِنَفْسِهَا. The author says, وَتَطْهُرُ الْخَمْرَةُ, wine becomes pure, إِذَا تَخَلَّلَتْ, when it transforms into vinegar, بِنَفْسِهَا, by itself. So when wine transforms into vinegar all by itself, it becomes pure. وَكَذَلِكَ النَّبِيذ مِنَ التَّمَرِ, and likewise any other type of intoxicant, which we would refer to as nabir. A person has dates, the dates ferment, and it develops a kick, and it now has the quality of intoxicating. وَكَذَلِكَ النَّبِيذ مِنَ التَّمَرِ, you leave this intoxicant, and it transforms by itself into vinegar. وَالزَّبِيب, the same applies to raisins. وَجِلْدُ الْمَيْتَةِ إِذَا دُبِغَ, and the last, the second aspect that we are looking at would be وَجِلْدُ الْمَيْتَةِ, the hide of carrion of a dead animal, إِذَا دُبِغَ, when it is tan. So those are the two things, when they transform in the manner which is going to be explained now by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? They are considered to be pure. When it transforms, when it morphs in this particular manner, it is considered to be pure. Okay, so two types of things become pure due to istihala, due to a change. When wine becomes vinegar, but now we're going to look at the detail first. When wine becomes vinegar, now wine can become vinegar either by itself. Now, if the wine becomes vinegar by itself, there's no question in terms of our school of thought, we consider that vinegar to be pure. It was wine, it became vinegar all by itself, it is considered to be pure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The other possibility would be that wine becomes vinegar, but by adding something. So if a person has wine, and then that wine becomes vinegar, but it became vinegar because you added something to the wine. If that added element is impure, then the consequence would be لَمْ تَطْهُرْ الْخَمْرُ بِالتَّخَلُّلُ, then that wine would not be considered to be pure when it becomes vinegar, and Allah SWT knows best. Now when you add something, the other possibility, when you add something, I'm going along, wine becomes vinegar by adding something. We discussed if you add an impure phenomenon. How about when you add a pure phenomenon? When you add a pure phenomenon, our scholars say, فَإِن نُزِعَتْ قَبْلَ التَّخَلُّلْ وَلَمْ يَنْفَصِلْ مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ. If you have wine and you add a pure substance into it, then you remove that pure substance before the wine becomes vinegar, and before that substance which you added into the water disintegrates in the wine, sorry, not the water. So let me just go back. You have wine, you're going to add something, the additive is pure. Now, when that wine becomes vinegar, if it happened that you put the additive in, and then you immediately took it out, or you took it out before that additive dissolved in the wine, and then we're going to consider that vinegar to be pure, otherwise not, in Allah SWT knows best. Look, we're getting into a bit of detail in this regard. Very simply, if you were to have wine and you add an additive to it, according to the Shafi school of thought, that vinegar is not going to be considered as pure, and Allah SWT knows best. In Cape Town, not our previous Mufti, the Mufti before our previous Mufti, the father of our previous Mufti, Mufti Maulana Yusuf Karan, he gave the ruling in appropriating the Hanafi school of thought that considers vinegar or wine transformed into vinegar, irrespective whether you add something or you don't add something, consider it to be pure and consumable, and Allah SWT knows best. Strictly speaking, according to our school of thought, when you add something for all practical purposes, whether that additive is pure or impure, that vinegar is not going to be considered as permissible to consume. Allow me just to read, go back and just do justice to the Arabic text here, Ibn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, if you add a pure additive, فَإِن نُزِعَتْ, if it's taken out, قَبْلَ التَّخَلُّلْ, before that wine becomes vinegar, وَلَمْ يَنْفَصِلْ مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ, and that additive hasn't dissolved in any way, or no part was separated from it, طَهُرَةِ الْخَمْرِ بِالتَّخَلُّلْ, then that wine will be rendered pure when it changes into vinegar. وَإِلْ لَمْ تُنْزَعَ الْأَيْنْ قَبْلَ التَّخَلُّلْ, if that additive is not removed prior to the wine becoming vinegar, أو نزعت قبله ولكن انفصل من شيء, or it was taken out prior to the wine becoming vinegar, but a part of it had already dropped and dissolved, then لم تطر الخمر بالتخلل, then that wine would not be considered pure when it becomes vinegar, and Allah SWT knows best. We continue with our reading in terms of istihala. So two types of things become pure due to istihala, due to this metamorphosis. The one we spoke about was when wine becomes vinegar. The second is a hide when it is treated. What is meant by a hide when it's treated? In other words, when it is tanned. So what is the proof for this? You have a dead animal, you remove the hide and you tan the hide, and then in tanning the hide becomes pure and permissible for you to use. What is the proof for that? The proof for that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that says, إِذَا دُبِغَ الْإِهَابُ فَقَدْ طَهُرَ, when a hide is tanned, فَقَدْ طَهُرَ, then as a result of that tanning process, then the hide becomes pure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next question which we ask ourselves, what is meant by tanning? So a person slaughters a sheep. Okay, that's a different issue altogether, because when you slaughter a sheep, then because you slaughtered the animal according to Islamic rites, automatically the meat and the hide is considered to be pure, although it is post that recommended, but by no means compulsory, for you to tan the hide. Here you find a dead animal and you remove the hide and you want to purify it. How do you purify it? By tanning. What is tanning? وَنَزْعُ الْفَضْلَاتِ, removing all excess from the skin, بِخِرِّيفٍ وَلَوْ نَجِسًا, with an acidic substance, بِخِرِّيفٍ وَلَوْ نَجِسًا. The author now will explain to us what is meant by khidif. والخidif هو ما يلدع اللسان بحرافته, because of its acidity, if you were to place it on your tongue, it's going to sting your tongue, it's going to burn your tongue, like pods, وضرك الحمام, and like the feces of pigeons, and Allah SWT knows best. Related issues relating to tanning, let's take it from my left-hand side, inshallah, and your right-hand side. It reads, tanning purifies the hide both internally and externally. So in other words, after you've tanned a hide, that hide is considered to be pure both internally as well as external. What is meant by the internal part of the hide is purified and the external part is purified? What is meant there? What is meant thereby? Imam Ar-Ramli says that مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْ وَجْهَيِّ وَالْبَاطِنِ وَبَطْنَ. He gives a very simple explanation. He says, if you have a hide, just imagine this was leather. So then this would be, the apparent would be on both sides. This would be the apparent and this would be the apparent. And then whatever is non-apparent, what I can't see, would be considered to be the internal part. So just imagine this was a hide, and then this would be the apparent, and this would be the apparent. And whatever's in the middle, that would be considered as the interior, so to say. When a person, the important point, according to Imam Ramli, the important point is when you tan a skin, then that skin is considered to be pure, both the external as well as the internal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who's best. What if you have a hide and the hide has hair thereon? Our scholars say, وَأَمَّا الشَّعْرَ الَّذِي عَلَى الْجِلْدِ الْمَدْبُوغِ. As for hair which finds itself upon the hide, يُعْفَى عَنْهُ عِنْدَ الرَّمْلِ, according to Imam al-Ramli, that is overlooked, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to the next issue. And now we are going to be discussing impurities and how to remove impurities bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here again, if I may give a basic introduction in this particular regard, you get three types of impurities. The one would be a heavy impurity, and then there's a procedure in terms of purifying a heavy impurity. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you get a light impurity, and then there's a procedure. Then in the middle, you have what we refer to as a medium, for lack of a better term, a medium form of impurity, and there's a procedure in that particular regard. So let's deal with the heavy impurity. The text reads how to remove a heavy impurity. Simply, وَإِذَا تَنَجَّسَ شَيْءٌ. If something is rendered impure, how? بِبَوْلِ كَلْبٍ, either because a dog urinated upon it, أَوْ خِنْزِيرٍ, or a pig urinated thereon, أَوْ فَرْءِ أَحَدِيمَ, or a product of a dog or a pig, or the both of them in terms of a hybrid, أو لعاء به, or the saliva of a dog or pig, or a product thereof, أو روثه, or its feces, أو عرقه, or its sweat, أو بدنه وهو رطب, or its body whilst the body is wet. If this happens, now anything related to a dog and a pig, it is considered to be impure, and the level of impurity is deemed as a heavy impurity. And this is reflected in the manner of purifying it. So if this happens, if you are afflicted by any of the above, غُسِلَ سَبْعًا, it must be washed 7 times, إِحْدَاهُنَّ بِتُرَابٍ طَاهِرٍ طَهُورٍ. Once it must be washed with sand that is clean in and of itself and has the properties of purifying. So let's look at the application. A dog comes and he licks my clothing. What do I do now? Very importantly, and I always make mention of this, is the impure status of the dog. A dog, according to the majority of scholars, is considered to be impure. The fact that it is considered impure is not a justification for us to discriminate against dogs or ill-treat dogs for that particular manner. From a Shari'i perspective, we consider, like we consider blood to be impure, in the same way we consider dogs and pigs to be impure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So what is the, let's look at the application now. That was a tangent point. Let's look at the application. A dog comes along and the dog licks you. What do you have to do? Number one is you must remove the impurities and the qualities. In other words, the traces of the impurities. A washing that removes the corporeal and traces is counted as one, no matter how many there may actually be. So you're really struggling to remove the impurity and you wash it 6 times. And only in the process of washing the saliva 6 times do you actually remove the corporeal and traces. Then that is considered to be one wash, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Of the washings that you do, one of the washings must be done with sand. The optimum way of using sand would be that you mix the sand with the water and then you apply that mixture to the affected area, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Another point would be that if a dog maybe urinates somewhere and into the sand and you want to purify that place, then you don't have to take additional sand and add it to it. All you have to do is add water, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next issue that we are dealing with would be how to remove a medium impurity. Not a heavy form of impurity, a medium form of impurity. And most impurities will fall into this particular category. وَمَا تَنَجَّسَ. I had put here a medium impurity. I should rectify this, inshallah, before posting it. it is how to remove a light impurity. So we're first moving across the spectrum from a heavy impurity to a light impurity. This particular narration deals with, or this part of the text deals with a light impurity. So how to remove a light impurity? وَمَا تَنَجَّسَ بِبَوْلِ صَبِيٍ. And that which is rendered impure, وَمَا تَنَجَّسَ, that which is rendered impure, بِبَوْلِ صَبِيٍ, due to the urine of a infant boy, of an infant boy, لَمْ يُطْعَمْ غَيْرُ اللَّبَنِ, who has not been fed except breast milk. And very importantly, the child has not reached 2 lunar years of age. What will happen? How do we purify this? نُضِحَ وَهُوَ رَشُّهُ بِالْمَاءِ مَا الْغَلَبَةِ وَالْمُكَاثَرَةِ. In order to purify this light impurity, all that needs to happen is a person must take water and sprinkle it over the affected area. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, what is the proof for this? What is the proof that the urine from an infant child who is breastfed, not consuming solids as yet, is only subsisting on breast milk, and younger than 2 years of age? What is the proof for that? The proof for that is the narration of Qais binti Muhsin. أَنَّهَا أَتَتْ بِبْنٍ لَهَا إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That she came with her son, and her son was young. لَمْ يَأْكُلِ الطَّعَامِ. The narration says, he was young, an infant, and he did not begin consuming solids as yet. فَأَجْلَسَهُ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم took this young infant and placed him in his lap. فَبَالَ عَلَىٰ ثَوْبِي. This youngster then passed water, urinated on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَدَعَى بِمَاءٍ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called for some water. فَنَضَحَهُ وَلَمْ يَغْسِلُهُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم simply sprinkled water thereover, and he did not wash it. The detail here in terms of what the Bayan and Ta'rif provides for us would be the following. There are a number of clauses. In order for us to consider that urine to be light urine, not light urine, but a light impurity. And a light impurity simply requires that you sprinkle water thereover and you need not wash it. There are certain conditions, there are certain clauses. What are the clauses? Urine, it excludes stool. So if an infant boy younger than 2 years of age who hasn't started consuming solids, he defecates on a person, then the sprinkling of water will not suffice. A person will have to wash it. If it is a male child, and then the ruling of sprinkling applies. The clause of male child excludes the female child. So if a female child, irrespective of what the age or what the status quo in terms of consuming breast milk or solids or any other liquid for that particular matter, then the ruling of washing applies as opposed to the ruling of simply sprinkling water. Breastfeeding obviously exclude a child who is eating solids, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There are certain further considerations, and that is when a child, an infant child, younger than 2 years of age, not consuming solids, only breast milk, they pass urine on your clothing. What must you do? You must simply sprinkle the clothing with water. Very importantly, there are certain further considerations, and they are that the clothing must dry or be wrung out. You must wring it out. And number two is the qualities of urine must have been removed. Otherwise, a ghusl would be necessary. A ghusl meaning it must be washed with water. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next one, and I thought that the order was running heavy, medium, and then light, but the order of the text rather ran heavy, light, and then medium smack in the middle. وَسَائِرُ النَّجَاسَاتِ تَطْوُرُ. And all other forms of impurity, other than the heavy one and other than the light one, وَسَائِرُ النَّجَاسَاتِ, all impurities, تَطْوُرُ, is rendered pure, بِالْغَسْلِ, when you wash it with pure water, that is, إِذَا زَالَ طَعْمُهَا وَلَوْهَا وَرِيحُهَا. When the taste and when the color and when the smell dissipates, is removed. وَلَا يَضُرُّ بَقَاءُ لَوْنٍ أَوْ رِيحٍ أَصُرَ زَوَالُهُ. However, at the same time, the Sharia is very practical. It now states, وَلَا يَضُرُّ بَقَاءُ لَوْنٍ, the remaining of a color, أَوْ رِيحٍ, or smell, color and smell, not taste, color and smell, أَصُرَ زَوَالُهُ, which is difficult to remove. If that remains behind and persists, and then no problem, it will be overlooked. What is meant by difficult to remove? Our scholars say, أَلَّا تَزُولَ بَعْدِ الْغَسْلِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ مَلَحَدٍ. When you take something and then you thrice you attempted to wash it. And in the process of washing, you're also rubbing and you scrubbing. And despite that, the impurities still persist in terms of the color, blood by way of example, or the smell, then that will be overlooked. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. However, at the same time, even if you're struggling, but now what happens is the color and the smell remains together. The color and the smell remains. The color and the smell remains. That would be harmful. What does it mean by be harmful? That would not be considered as pure. In other words, you wouldn't be able to pray in such a garment. Or if the taste only remains, then the taste is considered to be very strong, and the taste remaining would be considered as harmful. In other words, that particular item would not be considered to be pure, and Allah SWT knows best. The last issue, وَلَا يَطْهَرُ الْمَايُ إِذَا تَنَجَّسَ. A liquid, and this we had discussed in last week's lesson, we spoke about impurities coming into contact with liquid. If that liquid is water, then if it's a little or if it's a lot, there's a difference of opinion. Not a difference of opinion, there's a different application there. When an impurity comes into contact with a liquid other than water, for example, like honey, then the ruling is that when it comes into contact and that liquid is in a liquid form, like honey, something solid form, then irrespective of whether it is a little bit or a lot, that would be contaminated and not suitable for consumption purposes or for any other purposes for that matter. Here, the author reiterates that particular point. He says, وَلَا يَطْهُرُ الْمَائِعُ إِذَا تَنَجَّسَ. That a liquid, not referring to water, a liquid substance like honey, ghee, or whatever the case may be, will not be considered pure إِذَا تَنَجَّسَ, when it comes into contact with an impure substance. And Allah SWT knows best. That brings us to the end of today's lesson, inshallah. Our next lesson will be dealing with the dry ablution, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we will do, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we meet, same time, same place, next week, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum jami'an. MashaAllah. How are the brothers and sisters doing today?
I'm
finding the class. Normally when I have a live class, but normally I prefer like sort of an interaction. And normally my classes are like half an hour or like 35 minutes. But with a great degree of interaction, but those are the live classes on a live format in a physical class. But the platform sort of is structured in a way that the class is delivered, and then after the class is delivered, and then there's opportunity for interaction between teacher and student. So initially, it takes some getting used to, but inshallah, not without benefit. Are there any questions, perhaps relating to the lesson that we can look at and tackle, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If not, and then we will conclude, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum jami'an. But please feel free, either in terms of the chat that we have over here, or alternatively, you could ask a question. Barakallahu fikum. مرحبا هم لا يراك أنت هناك هم لا يرونك بارك الله فيكم نعم كيف حالكم برادر سعيد صالك
صالكم شيخ
مرحبا
How are you okay?
I'm good, thank you. I received your message, but it's been frenetic since yesterday and today in no terms problem. Of prepare for the class. I wasn't able to respond, but no. I will save your number, inshallah, and respond timelessly, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakallah. No worries, whenever. No problem.
Barakallah. You had mentioned, because there's a class, Al-Mukhtasar Al-Latif, and to the best of my understanding, after this class, there's the Matan Abu Shuja with the Kifaya. And thereafter comes Mullah Abdul Rahman's class.
No.
So wanted to make sure also that you sort of in the right class.
Yeah, Sheikh, I've studied a few of the books. So I've done Risatul Jamia, Safina. I've done Abi Shuja up to Buyu, and I'm doing Muqaddama Hadrami as well. I'm doing the Masail al-Ta'lim as well at the moment with another teacher.
So, okay, lovely.
Yeah, so I've done a few of the books, alhamdulillah. Not in the right order, but I've done it with the various teachers, alhamdulillah. So, yeah.
No, excellent. Barakallahu fiqh. Allah accept, and we're hoping to benefit from you going forward, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah, Shaykh.
Barakallahu fiqh. Khair, inshallah. Marhaba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.